Chapter 2. When Phileas Fogg Makes a Bet. 2nd of October. Every day, Phileas Fogg left his house at 11:30. He put his right foot in front of his left foot 575 times. He knew the exact length of every step. And he put his left foot in front of his right foot 576 times before arriving at the steps of the Reform Club. He usually waited a little before having lunch at 1:13. Then he went to the lounge room, where he spent the afternoon reading the newspapers. At 5 o'clock, he had afternoon tea, and at 5:40, it was time to go to the games room to play cards with other wealthy and respected members of the club, like Sir Ralph Gautier and Andrew Stewart. On this particular day, Andrew Stewart started to read a story to them from the evening newspaper about a robbery at the Bank of England. The robbery took place on the 29th of September. The thief stole £55,000, while the head cashier was busy writing a receipt for just a few pence. England's best detectives were looking for the thief after hearing that the Bank of England was offering a reward of £2,000 to the person who was able to catch the thief. From the first investigations into the robbery, they knew only one thing for certain. He was an elegant, well-spoken gentleman. While the other members of the club sat at the table, ready to play their game of cards, Andrew Stewart continued to talk about the robbery.
Where do you think the thief is hiding? He could be anywhere. The world is so big.
It isn't so big anymore,
replied Phileas Fogg.
What do you mean?
Said Andrew Stewart with a laugh.
The earth doesn't get any smaller.
Ha! But the earth is smaller,
said Sir Ralph Gautier.
If you think that we can now go around it 10 times quicker than we could 100 years ago. Did you know that today a man can travel around the world in only 3 months?
80 days, to be exact.
Phileas Fogg corrected him.
80 days?
Asked a surprised man at the table.
Well, maybe that's true, but only if you don't consider bad weather, storms, shipwrecks and other things,
said another.
In 80 days, considering all possible events,
continued Phileas Fogg.
Ah, you think so, do you, Mr. Fogg?
laughed Sir Ralph.
Well, I'll bet £4,000 that a journey like that is impossible in such a short time.
I repeat that it is possible to do the journey in that time,
said Phileas Fogg, his eyes fixed on Sir Ralph's smile.
Well, if you are so certain, then do it yourself.
I will,
replied Phileas Fogg.
When?
Immediately. And I'll bet not four, but £20,000 that I can go around the world in 80 days. I will return here in 1,920 hours, or, if you prefer, 115,200 minutes. Do you agree to the bet?
They all looked at one another. They could not decide if he was serious.
We agree,
they said.
Good. I'll take the train for Dover at 9:15 this evening. The bet starts as from...
Phileas Fogg took a small notebook and pencil from his pocket and made a note.
The 2nd of October, 8:45 p.m. And I will return here to the Reform Club at 8:45 on Saturday, the 21st of December. If I am not here by that time, this cheque for £20,000 is yours, gentlemen.
And with these words, he left the cheque for £20,000 on the table, picked up his hat, and went out of the door. At 7:50, his manservant was surprised to see his new employer come through the door.
Passepartout, we're leaving in 10 minutes. We're taking a train to Dover,
he said.
From there, a boat leaves for Calais at 11 o'clock tonight. We're going to go around the world in 80 days. We haven't another second to lose.
His employer did not seem to be in a hurry. The opposite, in fact. He spoke a little quicker, but he behaved in the same calm way.
Around the world?
Said Passepartout to himself.
Well, really?
He thought, shaking his head. Just when he finally thought he had the perfect job. He wanted to work for Phileas Fogg because he was a gentleman who lived a quiet life, who always did the same things. And now? How could this be a quiet life?
Pack a small bag with just my night things in it, please, and pack one for yourself. We can buy everything else when we need it,
added Phileas Fogg. And with these orders, he left the room. Passepartout continued to feel a little confused, but he followed his master's orders. He quickly packed their bags, and at 8 o'clock they were ready to leave the house. Phileas Fogg opened Passepartout's bag and put £20,000 into it. He closed it tightly. 20 minutes later, they were at the station.
It must be the money for the journey,
thought Passepartout as he sat on the train thinking nervously about the money in his bag. He did not want to lose the bag. After being in the newspapers, Phileas Fogg's journey wasn't a secret. Soon, everybody in London was talking about Phileas Fogg's departure and his plan to go around the world in 80 days. Some people thought he was mad. Others said he was a genius. But a few days later, the front pages had another story. A certain Inspector Fix, a detective for Scotland Yard, said he knew the identity of the thief. All the evidence pointed in one direction, to a well-known and respectable member of the Reform Club, Mr. Phileas Fogg.